Hey everyone, welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys cover top stories from the week and continue their divisional breakdowns with the NFC and the AFC South as we get closer and closer to week one.
What do they know? We are about to find out. Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast, season two, episode three. Nick and Jeff back with you to continue our divisional breakdowns as we gear up towards week one in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. We're like, what, a week and a half away from the Thursday night game, the opener with the Chiefs and the Ravens. So we are getting close. How was your week?
It was good. So far, so good. I mean, this is the episode I've been anticipating for a while, and I got my Saints gear on. It's NFC South time. What do they know?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week. This was one that I was really looking forward to with both the AFC and the NFC South. I feel like there are storylines. There are some really good teams, up-and-coming teams that have, like, completely revamped their lineups. So we have a lot to go over. So I'm going to kind of jump into some top stories from this week.
Okay.
The first one is going to be completely selfish, and it's not going to be a football story.
Right.
But it is a sports podcast, and my wife really encouraged me to bring this up this week. Mm. And that's Aaron freaking Judge. Obviously.
Are we sure that your wife put you up to this?
No, she did. So here's what happened. Okay. We're driving home from the state fair today. We're listening to the game on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And he hits his second home run of the day. And he's now at 51 for the year.
Okay.
And I'm like, babe, I'm like telling her, I'm like, this is insane. Like, this, what this dude is doing is just like otherworldly. And she's like, you need to talk about it on the show. And I'm like, I love you. She knows the way to my heart.
Yep.
But really, like, I know this is not a baseball podcast, but like what this dude is doing, if you're a sports fan,
mm-hmm.
is just out of this world. We were talking about it before the show, you and I, how he is now only the fifth player ever in the history of baseball to have three seasons of 50 or more home runs.
Right. We did do the trivia. I got there eventually.
It
took a little while.
I wouldn't have been able to get it.
Hey, kudos to me, apparently. But
so, you know, now counting Judge, the five players are Babe Ruth,
mm-hmm.
Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Alex Rodriguez, and now Judge. Yep. Only five players ever to have, and it doesn't have to be in order, it's just in the length of their career,
right?
They had three seasons of 50 or more home runs.
Yeah.
And now he's done that. Oh, by the way, he has 51 home runs, and it's not even September.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just insane.
And he's got a whole another month to go.
It's really quite ridiculous.
Yeah, at this point, he's just chasing himself for the AL home run record.
Right.
Obviously, the Barry Bonds record of NL, MLB total home runs in a season is pretty almost insurmountable for anyone at this point in the game. But Aaron Judge chasing his own record is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I know, like, I was driving home, obviously listening to the game, I'm getting really excited about like how every Yankee game in September is going to be like must watch, mm-hmm. from like a history standpoint, like he might break his own record again.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really excited selfishly for September because you got the Yankees, you got football, you got the Jets. I mean, we talked about this on our first episode. It's the best time of the year to be a sports fan, hands down.
Yep. And for you, it's you got everyone postseason baseball. You got Aaron Rodgers, hopefully for the entire season.
I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Exciting stuff for you.
I saw this reel of this, and everyone has probably seen it by this point, but it's literally this guy handing his wife his 2 weeks notice from being a husband because like football season is starting. Basically, like, it has written out like, I will be, you know, here's my 2 weeks notice, I will be unavailable on like Thursdays and Sundays, Monday nights, and he just listed out all these things, and it was really, really funny. And I said it to my wife, and she didn't think it was that funny. I feel like that's how a lot of guys feel. All right, so done with baseball, jumping into some football top stories. We had a couple rookie quarterbacks officially named starters this week. Jaden Daniels with Washington and Bo Nix, who we have talked about a lot, with the Broncos. Both of them officially named the starters. With Jaden Daniels, it was more of a formality. With Bo Nix, he was actually had some competition with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. And he was actually third on the depth chart most of preseason, but has obviously just showed out in the preseason and is now the official starter.
Right. And one more, can you say that Sean Payton, the QB whisperer, he obviously saw, like we talked about, he obviously saw something he liked in Bo Nix, and Bo Nix has done nothing but impress during the preseason, and he's put up godly numbers during his short stints there. But we'll see what he has to prove and show out with number one defenses chasing after him. So it's definitely a big improvement for Denver. I guess more hope than what Russell Wilson was giving you. In terms of Jaden Daniels, yeah, I mean, at this point, it's more about, I feel like, Marcus Mariota. I think at that point, what do you even feel for the guy? Like, you go from being one of the three quarterbacks in the show quarterback to now being beat up by a rookie.
Right.
Where do you stand at in your career? Do you all of a sudden think about retirement? Do you just accept the fact that you're going to be a backup quarterback for the rest of your career and where you go from there? But Jaden Daniels, obviously, taken pretty high in the NFL draft. So, like you said, it was just basically a formality at this point.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's debate who's going to be the best rookie out of this class. And over the last 2 weeks, I feel like I've gone from 0 to 100 with Bo Nix.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how can you not when you watch, again, it's preseason, take that for what you will. But he's just looked completely in control. And with the style of offense that Sean Payton wants to run, he seems like the perfect guy for that. Athletic, can run, can do some bootlegs, some play action, rollouts. So he's the guy that I'm really looking forward to. I feel like, you know, Caleb Williams is going to be good. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels is going to be good. Drake May, I am
not sold.
I'm not sold on him whatsoever. I don't even know if he's going to play this year.
Right.
But Bo Nix is the guy that I'm really, really high on. So excited to see kind of how he develops now that it's like official. There's not that hanging over him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a starter going into week one. So
right.
Good news there. Other top story that, you know, we've already somewhat talked about, but is, you know, preseason is basically officially over after today as we record, you know, Sunday right. night.
Yep.
Preseason's done. Like, people are, you know, they're going to be officially preparing for week one.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have three stud receivers that are holding out and still don't have contracts. That being Brandon Ayuk of the Niners, Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals, CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys. It came out a couple days ago that Ja'Marr Chase has apparently told people that he is not playing without a new contract. So it seems like he's not going to be the one to budge and show up. Brandon Ayuk seems like he may or may not be close one way or the other, either obviously the trade that's been agreed to with the Steelers or signing a contract with the Niners.
Right. I've heard they've been close for at least a week now.
Yeah. I think the Niners are really trying to hold off to the last possible second because they feel like there's a good chance of him re-signing before they actually end up having to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
And then CeeDee Lamb, I don't know what Jerry Jones is doing. I mean, if you listen to him talk, he boggles my mind. Like, he, at one point, somebody asked him, you know, what's going on. He said, there's no sense of urgency to get it done. And then he, you know, a week later backtracked and said, well, it's not because we don't want him. We want him. It's just because he wouldn't be doing much in preseason anyways, like blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So there's no need to get him there. So he tried to talk himself out of that.
Right.
But I feel like the more he opens his mouth, the more he just hurts himself and the Cowboys and their team. But CeeDee Lamb is a dude. Like, he's a dude. Like, you need him there.
Right.
Same with these other two guys, Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk. You know, it's no different. So, we're getting really close to week one, and these guys, it's now becoming like a real concern that these guys may not be there week one.
Yeah, the dynamic of all three of those offenses just changed completely.
100%.
None of those receivers end up reporting for week one and playing. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, and they have a great connection there. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase obviously come in from LSU. They've had a long-standing relationship even before in Cincinnati. And then Purdy over in San Francisco needs Ayuk. I mean, obviously, you have Deebo Samuel on the other side, but at the same time, Ayuk is more of that traditional wide receiver one.
Yep.
Deebo, I guess, is not to his fault, but he's more of that gadget player. But he definitely has the talents to be a wide receiver one, but you definitely need Ayuk to kind of take a lot of that stress away from Deebo Samuel. So if those three guys don't report or end up playing or missing any time, then it's definitely puts those three franchises in a little bit of a stranglehold, and I'm not sure where to go from there if you're those three teams.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we've, again, this is something that we've talked about ad nauseum already, but you know, let's say these guys all sign tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like they might play week one, but they're not going to be physically ready week one.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so they're, you know, it's going to be a real issue to see their ramp up time, how much they're able to be their normal selves. And are they going to be able to do it without getting injured?
Right.
So that's always a real concern whenever you have somebody that holds out or doesn't play or whatever, doesn't have the typical ramp up time in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's bound to happen.
Yeah. In fantasy perspective, you'd have to look out for limited snaps.
That scares crap out of me. When I'm drafting somebody who hasn't mm-hmm. played all preseason, makes me really, really nervous.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you draft them, you're kind of hoping they're on a snap count so they can get ramped up instead of just plotting them out there for 50 to 70 plays and bearing a hamstring injury or something of the sort. All of a sudden, you're down your number one pick throughout the whole entire year, and your team's done.
Yep.
So yeah, hopefully they can take care of them as soon as possible. But don't stress out if you're not going to pick those guys. Right. Honestly, look elsewhere if I'm drafting right now.
Yep. All right. So those are some of the big stories that happened this week. I'm sure as we will have more as we do next week, because that'll be the last preseason episode before week one. And, roster cuts, all that good stuff. There'll be trades and hopefully some contracts that are signed, and we'll cover all that next week. But we will dive in. So as a reminder, if you're not with us all the time, we're going to continue to do our divisional breakdowns. Today we're going through the NFC and AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
So just going team by team, calling out some headlines, some things that maybe have changed, some roster moves, some things that we're looking out for each team. So we'll dive into the NFC South, and we will cover Tampa Bay first.
Okay.
What do you got there?
So let me preface this division first, though, with everyone is rolling out new offensive coordinators this year in that division. Yep. Everyone is under a new system, new coaches. Obviously, two teams in the division have new head coaches. The longest tenured now is Todd Bowles and Dennis Allen with the Saints and Tampa, both going into year three of their tenures there. And honestly, they're both probably on the hot seat, to be honest with you.
100%. Maybe not Bowles so much. I mean, the playoffs Dennis Allen last year. Dennis Allen for sure.
For sure. So, but with Todd Bowles there in Tampa Bay, they're going to roll out Liam Cohen. They re-signed Baker Mayfield. That was huge. Mike Evans was also a huge re-signing.
Yep.
Obviously, those two kind of carried their offense last year. Their rushing offense wasn't really anything to brag about last year. I think they were like ranked like second to last in rushing offense. Even with defenses knowing that they were going to throw the ball, they were still succeeding at it. And it was, like you said, it was good enough to get them into the playoffs last year, win that division. So it's definitely going to be, I guess, a learning curve, see where Baker Mayfield is at with the new offense with Dave Canales moving over to Carolina. The biggest question mark for me is going to be Baker Mayfield and how he goes into year two of actually having expectations now. Whether it's going to be kind of like a Geno Smith scenario where he showed out that one first year in Seattle, and then second year he kind of, I wouldn't say he fell off completely, but he was good, but not great to the point where he was in year one. Because any sort of stagnation or drop off from Baker Mayfield, all of a sudden in that division, it was already up for play, but now 100%. All of a sudden it drops him down a game or two. Some other team is going to jump right all over it.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see if it was Dave Canales or if it was Baker Mayfield.
Mm.
Like, if he drops off, what do you attribute to that to? Like, mm-hmm. because everybody gave Dave Canales a ton of credit last year with mm-hmm. the way he worked with Baker and said, you know, I heard nothing but positive things. Obviously, that's a big reason why he got the head coaching gig in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be curious to see what Baker looks like, because he had the first year, his rookie year, they made the playoffs. Then years two through three, four, five have been nothing to brag about. And then obviously he had this resurgence with Tampa after year one. So not a huge sample size of success.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be curious to see if he's able to repeat that or if it was the type of thing where Canales really did more than maybe the average person realized.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Carolina hired Dave Canales for a reason, and that's for Bryce Young. trying to get that right. So Carolina believes it was Dave Canales. So whether, like you said, whether it's more of a Baker getting his head right and finally showing out his talent that he made him first overall pick back in his draft class, We'll see. But, I mean, he's got weapons around him. Outside of Evans, you've got Chris Godwin coming in. Again, that's a lot more continuity there. Trey Palmer, they signed Sterling Shepard. So, I mean, that's quite a good quartet, I guess would be the word, for Tampa Bay receivers. They're for Baker Mayfield. Rashad White coming back as a running back. I mean, he was heavily used.
In the passing game.
In the passing game as well. So, I mean, obviously, Rashad White is kind of like that sneaky PPR type of player. But it's definitely going to be one of those things where if Baker can elevate his own play, he's got the weapons around him to really soar in that offense.
Yeah, agreed. I'm curious their defense. You know, obviously, Todd Bowles, big defensive mind, phenomenal defensive coordinator, has historically, even as a head coach, had great defenses. They lost some big names this year, or this offseason, I should say. Shaq Barrett, Devin White, Carlton Davis, just to name a couple. So those are some big pieces in prominent positions.
Right.
I feel like you got all three levels there. Shaq Barrett, you know, at the line, Devin White, linebacker, Carlton Davis in the secondary. So it'll be curious to see if Bowles is able to continue to work his magic and have that strong defense.
Right.
Or if they are going to take a step back, because I do think at least two of the three teams that they'll be facing in their own division are going to have some halfway decent offense that they're going to have to keep up with on the defensive side of the ball.
Right. Yeah. That's defensively, they're definitely a big question mark. I don't think they really made much of, I guess, improvements or additions there on that defensive side. I mean, it's still led by Yvita Vey, who's a big force there up front. Then Antoine Winfield Jr. there covering the backfield or the secondary, but it's definitely more of Todd Bowles' stroke of genius that really carries that team and puts them in the games. Definitely, yeah, last year is definitely their offense that kept them in games, and their defense did good enough to bend and not break,
right?
Sort of defense. But it's definitely Todd Bowles' way of winning the game is let's bend and not break and not give up points to the point that our offense cannot catch up and steal a game here and there.
Yeah. So I'll be curious. You know, obviously I was secretly high on them last year.
You were definitely. I don't know.
I'm not that way this year. I feel like it's one thing to come out of nowhere as the surprise this year, being the division winner. I think people are going to have it out for you.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see how that works for them this year. I do think overall they're going to take a step back personally, but we will see. All right, jumping over to the Atlanta Falcons, the much improved Atlanta Falcons. 7-10 last year, a huge offseason, probably the biggest offseason in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, they spent.
Obviously, they signed Kirk Cousins to a massive contract over from Minnesota. They invested through the roof in their defense.
Yep.
So just to name some guys that they signed: Calais Campbell, Trey Flowers, Jeff Okuda, Matt Judon, Justin Simmons, and Bud Dupree. I mean, Matt Judon, Bud Dupree, Justin Simmons, those guys alone are like all pro bowlers. I mean, stud defensive linemen, or defensive pieces. So, I mean, the Falcons clearly felt like that was a need for them and just went bananas in investing in their defense. So I think that I'm curious, you know, it's interesting. These are all really, really good names, but I'll be curious to see how they fit.
Right.
And if their defense has continuity with all these additions.
Right. I mean, obviously they joined, I guess, conditioned and stationary, face of the franchise with Grady Jarrett and A.J. Terrell there in the secondary.
Yep.
Those guys are definitely household names over there in Atlanta. Raheem Morris is more of a defensive-minded coach. So if he has a vision, I'm sure he told it to ownership. And they went out and spent money, traded for Matthew Judon. So that was huge for them. They're just revamped all over the place. Obviously, you have Kirk Cousins. Obviously, they drafted Michael Penix Jr., which is beyond me. But obviously, during our draft show, that was
something we talked about. Yeah,
the on-air draft show.
Yeah,
or something we talked at length.
It's not like they just drafted another quarterback. They drafted him with the eighth overall pick. After you just invested
$180 million
in a quarterback.
Yep.
Not only that, this is just bizarre. I've heard zero explanation for it. And I'm not even sure if you have noticed this or not, he has played a total of zero plays in the preseason.
I have not.
He
hasn't played.
Like, you typically only do that if he's your starter.
Right.
Which obviously we you know, he's not.
Right.
But, you know, I've heard just some unfounded speculation on like national radio. Like, are we sure he's not starting? Because it would make zero, like why is he not playing? He's your number one quarter, you know, your number one draft pick. You're apparently your future of the franchise.
Right.
And he's not playing in the preseason.
You'd have to wonder if they're just completely redshirting him.
Makes zero sense.
Right. I mean, it's a roster spot that could have been used on anywhere on the offensive line to protect Kirk Cousins, who's coming off an Achilles injury.
Right.
It could have been in your secondary where you just try to revamp the entire defense anyway. That's probably the one blemish I feel like the Atlanta Falcons kind of had during the offseason. It's that kind of inexplainable pick of Michael Penix Jr. Yeah. there at eighth overall. But I mean, overall, I mean, if you sign Kirk Cousins for 4 years and you think Michael Penix isn't going to be ready until the tail end of that anyways, I guess it makes sense kind of to like redshirt him completely. I mean, Michael Penix has his own injury history. So keep him out of harm's way. Let him learn on your Kirk Cousins and then roll him out during the preseason next year and see what you got after that. I mean, after that, you still have 3 years of Kirk Cousins. If you want to cut losses, trade him, whatever, and then go with Michael Penix, you have that option. But, I mean, I'm just creating excuses for what Atlanta
And I mean, you know, I guess you could say to their credit, but, like, the very next day after the draft, they took it, they backed it up, and they literally said, we're going after the Green Bay model of QB development.
Right.
And I mean, you think about what they did with Jordan Love. They drafted Jordan Love the season after Aaron Rodgers won MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So similar sort of situation where there was no need, but apparently they zeroed in on him kind of like Peyton did with Bo Nix. Like they determined that Penix Jr. was their guy and they were going to go get him regardless of how it was going to look.
Right.
I just feel like,
they pulled the trigger too early, I feel like.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, like you said, 4 years of Kirk Cousins, you only have a first round for 5 years. That's if you exercise their fifth-year option. So, I mean, you're gonna have to pay the man after 1 year of playing.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky situation. But, I mean, I can see the vision. Well, it's like you said, it's just not, I guess, ideal for the fan base there because they're looking at all the upgrades they're getting throughout the entire roster. Why are you not upgrading with your first overall pick?
Right.
They're in the draft. Doesn't make sense. But
yeah. Regardless. So, I mean, and we'll see, right. I mean, they could potentially look like geniuses. If God forbid Kirk Cousins isn't healthy.
Right.
And something happens. I mean, there, you know, everybody has question marks around Aaron Rodgers. I think it's fair to have question marks around Kirk Cousins as well. They're similar. Obviously, Rodgers is older, but Kirk Cousins is on the back half of his career.
Absolutely. Yep.
And coming off a torn Achilles is not an easy injury to come back from, regardless of your age or your position or sport or whatever. Mm-hmm. Achilles is a tough thing to come back from.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see how he looks.
Right.
I mean, as far as I know, he's ready for week one. But, you know, again, that could be Atlanta just looking like absolute geniuses. If God forbid something happens to him and Penix can just come in and sling it, we'll see. But, I mean,
yeah, I guess the one thing that works in Kirk Cousins' favor is he's not a mobile quarterback beforehand.
Correct.
So, I mean, the Achilles won't like affect his legs, I guess, in terms of running the ball. But, yeah, in terms of how well he can step into passes and whatnot. That'll definitely be interesting to see. I mean, he's not short of skill position players in Atlanta with Bijan Robinson there at the running back position. Drake London, he had definitely had his moments there last year.
Kyle Pitts.
Yep, Kyle Pitts. He's still looking to break out.
Yep.
But, I mean, he hasn't had consistent quarterback play throughout his career there. So now finally having a quarterback that actually knows and is established, it's definitely can only help Kyle Pitts' career there in Atlanta.
And they also added Darnell Mooney from the Bears, who's a great receiver. Really, you know, not talked about, but he's a good one. He's going to be a good number two.
Yep.
So I mean, they on paper they have a dynamic offense. I'm really excited to see them play, kind of see how it all comes together. I think I've said this before, I'm a huge Kirk Cousins fan. From watching quarterback last year.
Right.
Just everything about him. I love the dude. I think he's a solid dude. I'm one of his biggest fans. Yep. So really hope that he does well. And I think that I don't think that we're stating the obvious that the Falcons are going to be the team to beat in the NFC South.
Yeah. And we even talking about Zach Robinson coming in from LA, the Rams. Obviously he did wonders with Jared Goff. So
yeah.
So yeah, now he's coming over here as new offensive coordinator. I thought he needs a shout out because I think he's one of the upcoming minds. He's coming from that Sean McVay tree.
I was just going to say, yeah, he's coming from the McVay,
tree.
Yeah.
Yep. So to me, Atlanta's stocked and fueled and ready to go. So like you said, it's not over the top of the world to say that they're favorites in the NFC South. Right.
Yep.
Now. Yep.
Agreed. All right. Moving on to the Carolina Panthers, 2-15 last year. It was a rough one, a very rough season for Bryce Young. I think it's fair to say that the jury's still out on him. Like if he's the guy, mm-hmm. I don't think that it was at all determined last year.
Right.
How much of that was his fault? I don't know. He was running for his life last year.
Yeah. Poor guy.
The poor dude had zero offensive line to stand on. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as we already talked about, they brought over Dave Canales from Tampa Bay to be the new head coach, and obviously that offensive mind to hopefully help him.
Mm-hmm.
They did trade for Diontae Johnson, good receiver from Pittsburgh. They drafted Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, talented receiver. So they think that they have their duo, so to speak, to help with. I think Adam Thielen is still there. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, he's still there.
And he had a really good last year.
Yep, over 1,000 yards.
So there's that. But then. Then they went and traded their best defensive player.
Brian Burns.
So I don't know that to me was really confusing.
Yeah.
It's like, you got draft picks that you set yourself up for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this year might be a little rough.
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously during a head coach's first year at any place, you kind of have to take it as a rebuild.
Yeah.
If there's any sort of success, you just take it like, hey, this is surprising, like all the hope in the world, but zero expectations type
right,
of thing.
Right.
You can't go in expecting a first year head coach to come in and win a division or anything like that. He's there to fix problems and see the problems first and then fix them afterwards. So, I mean, Dave Canales, I think, is a great start. Obviously, you need to get your number one overall pick quarterback right. He cannot be a liability after what you invested to get him, with trading up with Chicago, trading all those picks just to have the opportunity to draft them. That's just not something. That's not an investment you can flush down the toilet type of thing. So we'll see. Obviously, they added some weapons around him, like you said, Diontae Johnson, Xavier Leggett, second round pick. They signed a guard from, I think, Robert Hurst from Miami. I think he only allowed like 5 pressures last year. So just having your offensive line in sync with your quarterback, especially with Bryce Young being, I guess, as short as he is, he's around my height. So
yeah, 5'10". Yeah, he's tiny.
So it's definitely one of those things. I mean, coming from Drew Brees, watching Drew Brees in hell, I mean, he maybe 6 foot. I know that your offensive line, especially your guards and your center, are your number one friend there to make sure you can see the routes, you can see the defense, what they're doing. So for Bryce Young, if he's going to be anywhere near trying to get to that level of Drew Brees, he's definitely going to have to rely on his guard play and his center play. But yeah, their defense definitely carried them last year. I think they were like 4th in yards allowed per game. But yeah, like you said, getting rid of Brian Burns is definitely a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, and it's tough with Bryce Young, right? Because I feel like, as you already said, when you get a new head coach, 9 times out of 10, it's because your team underperformed last year.
Right.
So you're going to look at it as a rebuilding year, but at the same time, this is year 2 of Bryce Young. So you have to make sure that this year and next year, you put enough pieces around him mm-hmm. so that you can make a determination 100% confident, is this the guy?
Mm-hmm.
And as a Jets fan, that's something that they've never been able to do. Like even when they're rebuilding, they've never had even remotely competent pieces up until the last year or two
mm-hmm.
On their struggling quarterback. So like Zach Wilson didn't have weapons you know, Sam Darnold. I mean, you name it. They didn't have sufficient pieces to be able to judge their quarterback. And I feel like that's what the Panthers need to make sure they do with Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to do that, right? Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, the guys we already talked about. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make sure. But I feel like the biggest piece, like you said, is that offensive line. He has to be able to have a second to breathe mm-hmm. and make reads and you know, determine what he needs to do with the ball. Mm-hmm. So this year and next year, I feel like is going to be really, really.
Yeah, this is I want to say crucial. It's a make or break.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But it's definitely close.
Yeah, it's close.
I mean, next year would be year three, and then after that, it's you have to make the decision whether you're going to exercise that fifth-year option. And if he's not worth it, then all of a sudden you're going to have to start looking back to square one about where to find a quarterback.
And that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number one overall pick after, you know,
yeah.
trading for him, giving up DJ Moore, you know, everything that you did to do that mm-hmm. To get it wrong would be obviously a really bad thing.
The GMs got fired over that twice.
Yeah. Yes.
yeah. Yep.
All right. I'm just going to let you talk.
Oh, no.
For this one. So last but not least, NFC South, we have the New Orleans Saints, 9-8 last year. take it away, Jeff.
Is this the rant part of the episode?
Sure. It's whatever you want it to be.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Okay. So Dennis Allen, year three. So obviously they fired their offense coordinator last year, Pete Carmichael Jr. I'm pretty sure he went.
Thank God.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he went over to Denver to go back under Sean Payton. Obviously, they have a lot of familiarity there. They brought in Clint Kubiak. So
good offensive mind, at least the name Kubiak.
Mm, yeah. Yep. So obviously, he's there to, I guess, get Derek Carr. That was a big investment the Saints had. obviously, Kamara's kind of on a holdout. I'm not sure exactly where he stands, whether he's going to play, but I know he wants a new contract. I think he still has like 2 years left or something, but he wants more guaranteed money because I don't think after this year is there's no more guaranteed money. So if he gets injured or something, then they can just cut him loose and not to pay him anything. So that's always lingering over them.
But he's at he's at camp, right?
Yeah, he's
participating
yeah.
and doing all that.
I believe he's going to play. It's just he wants a new deal. I mean, their biggest addition was Chase Young there on the defensive side. Their pass rush wasn't really it was pretty inept last year, to be honest with you. Cam Jordan's getting up there in age. Their defensive tackles didn't really create anything in the passing game. And then you have the other side, which is Marcus Davenport, and then who basically flamed out, and then he took off. Peyton Turner, who was a first round pick, he has his moments, but he's still developing. It's just a whole, I don't know. It's just a lot of hopeful right now. You just have to hope that these young players that they've drafted develop, because right now they've just been missing and whiffing ever since that draft class that was so good, and Marshawn Lattimore and Alvin Kamara and Von Bell and Marcus Williams, all those guys. So ever since then, it's just been a grind with these draft picks, because they've been in cap situations that they can't buy themselves out from, so they have to rely on these picks to develop. Obviously Derek Carr is the biggest investment they've had, so it relies heavily on his shoulders. Obviously, you showed me a video of Spencer Rattler throwing a dime. So
an absolute dime today.
Yep.
Yeah. In their preseason game.
So maybe they finally found a QB of the future. I'm not going to get my hopes up anymore at this point. It's going to be more about a, we'll take it one step at a time, 1 week at a time, and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, at this point, no expectations, just high hopes.
Yeah. I mean, from a positive perspective, I feel like you and I both had really high hopes for them last year.
Absolutely.
Specifically on the offensive side of the ball, bringing over Derek Carr. The positive side tells me that they can't be as inept as they were last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Derek Carr, he was like the king of the check down.
Oh, absolutely.
He threw for like no yardage at all ever. And so I'm really, really hopeful just because I like Derek Carr. I feel like I love Alvin Kamara. I love Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. I think Olave is a stud. He's a clear number one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nowhere to go but up. And I think they will, personally.
Yeah, they have skill position players there that are above average for sure. They're all offensive line plays what has to step up. Obviously, Trevor Penning was, they traded up to get him like 2-3 years ago. It has not panned out so far. They had to move him from left tackle to right tackle. And I mean, his first preseason game was just an abomination of tackle play. He was getting pushed around by guys half his size.
Abomination.
It was an abomination. Such a strong word. It was an abomination. But ever since then, that video came out, he has shown a little bit more effort in his growth. So whether he can anchor the right side, we'll see. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see. And their defense is what kept them in games last year and won them games last year, to be honest. But offensively, it was about scheme. So they made the right call in firing Pete Carmichael Jr. So
100%.
Yeah. Whether Clint Kubiak can get him right, we'll see. Now that to me is going to be the biggest difference maker is Clint Kubiak, Derek Carr, and that system functioning the way it should be.
Okay. I like it.
Yep.
All right. That concludes our NFC South breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do our standings now or you want to do them at the end?
We can do the standings now.
Okay. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So I got the Falcons winning the division. I think that's pretty, I guess, clear cut, seeing how much they spent and invested in that whole roster. Number two, I got Tampa Bay. I think Baker Mayfield will. I feel like Tampa Bay is a lot less of a expectation hole than I guess Cleveland because of how I guess bad they've been for so long. Tampa Bay at least has had some sort of recent success, and when Tom Brady was still there. Even with the expectations, I feel like Baker Mayfield is going to calm it down and have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin there for some familiarity to exceed expectations from, I guess, tempered expectations already. Number three, I got New Orleans just for the sake of not being let down so much when they finished last or something in this division. And then number fourth, I got Carolina. I think they will see a lot of progression, a lot of good stuff to come out of there. But if they don't, then it's going to be a tough decision and tough pill to swallow during the offseason to maybe hit the reset button again.
Yeah, so I have Tampa Bay and New Orleans flipped. Okay. So I have New Orleans second and Tampa Bay in third. I just think that, you know, I said it, I think Tampa Bay is going to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that New Orleans offense will be better.
Okay.
So I just think that, you know. Yeah,
I think they were like a game apart last year.
Didn't they have the same record? Weren't they 9-8?
Yeah, they were 9-8. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So they were all.
It's tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I, you know, that's what I think, that's a pretty fair shake either way.
Yep.
All right. Jumping over to the AFC South. For my money, this is one of the most exciting divisions, for a lot of different reasons, as we'll get into. But first we'll, go over the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
9-8 last year, came down to the last week of the season, against the Texans, win and you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Texans were able to pull it out and the Colts missed by a game. So what do you got there?
Jim Bob Cooter. That's all I got, bro.
That's the best name in football.
Best name in football.
Best name in football.
Get him in the playoffs.
Yep.
Obviously this is, Shane Steichen's, second year there. So, obviously they exceeded expectations last year. Then obviously they had, Anthony Richardson, as their starter last year. And then they kind of pulled a Houdini out of their hat with Gardner Minshew, leading them after Richardson went down. So, I mean, Steichen's got those guys playing there. So there's no questioning his coaching ability right now. Their strength last year was more on the defensive end, though, defensive line. They had a lot of pressures, a lot of sacks. Unfortunately, they lost one of their guys, their leading sack getter, and Samson Abukam,
okay,
to injury. He tore his Achilles, I feel like, last month. He had 10 sacks last year. So that's a huge hole to fill.
That's a lot, yep.
Yep. So to me, it's definitely going to be about Anthony Richardson's progression and then making sure you can cover the hole that Samson left the void there in the defensive line. But, yeah, in terms of Indy's offense, you got Jonathan Taylor coming back happy. no more contract
distraction. Yep. Yeah.
Michael Pittman Jr., who had a quietly good season last year. Josh Downs, and then they drafted a wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell, I should say, in the second round. So it's definitely going to be more about, for me, I'm more curious about Anthony Richardson's health,
yep,
how he changes his game style, because it's obviously last year it did not work. You put yourself into punishable situations way too much.
I think he left, you know, he went out like what, week four, but the first three games he left every single game injured.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we talked about it last year, something has to change drastically mm-hmm. with the way that he plays.
Yep.
Me personally, like, I don't really have a reason to feel this, right? They were one game away from the playoffs last year. They're getting their actual quarterback, their first round pick back. So, like, on paper, that sounds good things. And right. I know a lot of people are high on the Colts. I'm just not drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't know right. why. I just don't have a reason for it. I just think that, I mean, I could be wrong, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we talked about Jonathan Taylor. I think he'll have a better year not holding out, not having the distraction, not missing time. Michael Pittman, I feel like last year was the year that he really played like a number one for the right. first time in a while, for the first time in his career,
yep.
put up numbers like a number one. So I'm curious to see if that continues. Obviously he had phenomenal chemistry with Gardner Minshew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if that translates to him and Anthony Richardson. But I don't know. I feel like this division is too good.
Right.
And for me, like, I didn't see enough of Richardson last year to believe that he's going to pick up right where they left off.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, it's his rookie year still.
Yeah.
Like, he played what, three games?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously he probably watched, he learned, he listened a lot in meetings, so on and so forth. So he developed a little bit, but mm-hmm. like, there's something about being in the game, and he only had very limited action last year.
Yeah. The problem with Anthony Richardson is, well, I guess the biggest question mark after he got drafted was his arm. How raw he was throwing the ball, and it was never like a question of can he get the system down. It was about can he get his arm right to make the passes that he needs to make at that level. And obviously that you can redshirt him as much as you want, but throwing the passes is throwing the passes. You need to have him out there. So like you said, there's a lot of people out there that have Indy up and coming, and Anthony Richardson up and coming. The problem is, has he changed his style to the point where it's going to keep him safe and his team safe from another, I guess bombardment of losing your starting quarterback. I think they got what, Joe Flacco now as their yep. backup quarterback. So yep. I guess that's a little bit of insurance, but honestly, Joe Flacco coming out of Cleveland, he had kind of a monster year there in Cleveland for a little while into the playoffs. But if you're Anthony Richardson, I look at that Joe Flacco signing, like, do you even have the confidence in me staying healthy right now? You just went out and got like one of the biggest name free agent quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks to back me up. It's definitely good insurance for Indianapolis. For Anthony Richardson, it should be a statement to say you need to stay healthy.
Yeah, and I just get nervous, right? And it's such a small sample size, so it's probably unfair to even say this, but is he going to be one of those guys that has his career derailed by injuries?
You'd hope not.
Because the amount that he got injured in those first three games, and it wasn't like for all the same things, like one of them was a concussion, one of them was, you know, I don't even remember, but ultimately he ended up needing shoulder surgery.
Right.
So it's like, is he going to be one of those guys that just can never stay on the field? I hope not, because, you know, everything you hear about him says he's a physical freak. He's mm-hmm. got such, you know, such talent, such speed, big size, everything.
Right.
I'll be curious to see it. Like you said, he's the biggest question mark for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yep.
All right. Next we have Jacksonville Jaguars, 9-8 last year. Big disappointment in reality, huge disappointment, especially, I mean, they started 8-3 and finished 1-5.
Yep.
All they had to do was win at home against, I don't even remember who it was last week of the season, and they would have won the division. Mm. Instead, they lost. Houston won the division, and they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they were in a win and in situation at home and couldn't get done.
Yeah.
So big disappointment. Obviously, they lost Calvin Ridley, their little one-year experiment that they did. He's no longer there. I absolutely love the Gabe Davis signing.
Yeah.
Coming over from Buffalo. I think that's going to be massive. He obviously was the number two behind Stephon Diggs, but the dude put up some crazy numbers, him and Josh Allen. Proved he's a deep threat. He can catch touchdowns. He can play in big moments. Had like two or three touchdowns in the playoff game against Kansas City for Buffalo a couple years ago. So I really love that signing. Defense, they made some additions on defense too. They, you know, Trey Flowers, Terrell Edmonds, Darnell Savage, Ronald Darby, a lot of names that you know to be studs. So I think that their defense will be much improved too. And then on the offensive end, they added Mitch Morse at center, who I believe came over from Buffalo.
Yeah, their biggest addition, even on defense, I think, is Ryan Nielsen, defensive coordinator. Came from Atlanta last year. He doubled their sack total from 21 to 42. So Ryan Nielsen, I've kind of followed him around because he was a Saints, not defensive coordinator, but assistant coach, defensive line coach. So he knows his defensive line. And that was one of the weaknesses that Jacksonville had last year. They didn't really have anyone rushing the passer, to be honest. So he's there to improve them and see if he can turn that script around offensively. Well, let's start off with last year. Last year, honestly, I was convinced this was Jacksonville's division to win for the next 3 to 4 years.
I mean, nobody saw Houston coming. Nobody saw
CJ Stroud's coming. Taking the steps that he did in year one. No one saw it coming. But Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud became what we thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be. Oh no, he's dying.
Excuse me.
But yeah, Trevor Lawrence is kind of, he's stagnated. I don't think he took a step back. I think he just stagnated.
I agree.
In his development. But obviously he's got skilled position players there and Kirk, Gabe Davis. They drafted Brian Thomas Jr.
Forgot about Kirk. Good Lord. Kirk.
They drafted Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. They have Travis Etienne Jr. there in the backfield.
Evan Ingram. I love Evan Ingram. Tight end.
Very, very sneaky good tight end. Tank Bigsby is another running back that they sat in, I think they drafted last year. So, I mean, they have pieces there in the offense, which I thought last year was going to click and connect and be what we thought Houston was kind of going to be. So we'll see if they can take those steps forward. Obviously, like you said, they revamped their defense. Eric Armstead, Darnell Savage, Ron Darby, they definitely made improvements, I feel like, on that defensive end of the roster. But to me, their biggest question is going to be their offense, whether they can get it right, right the ship. Trevor Lawrence, can you finally – because he just got paid. A 5-year deal, I feel like it was.
It was like $275 million.
Yep. It was massive amounts of money. So he's – if you're Jacksonville, you need him to perform at that level that you just paid him at.
Yeah, I think I'm excited for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I feel like that could have been a dose of reality.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm sure, you know, everybody, players meet, you know, coaches always say they don't listen to the headlines, they don't listen to the media. But I'm sure after the year they had prior, they thought what you just said, it was their division to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw Houston coming. Nobody saw Indianapolis coming. And so I feel like now maybe they're going to wake up and be like, oh, crap, like we actually, you know, we have to perform.
Right.
We can't just go out there and take it because we think we have a weak division. Obviously, they know now they have a great division.
It's a useful division.
So who knows? Maybe this year they'll have a fire lit under them and Doug Peterson will come out with some new gadget plays and, you know, some stuff like that. But I'm really excited for Jacksonville just because I feel like they have to rebound.
Right.
They can't play the way they did last year. They're too good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, Jacksonville kind of has that history of not performing to expectations. I think they made that AFC Championship game that one year, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of fell off ever since then.
Yep.
But yeah, to be a real NFL football team, to really put some fear and thunder into your name, some respect on your name, you got to start not taking things for granted and start playing the game how it should be.
Yep. All right, next we have the Tennessee Titans, 6-11 last year. I'll be honest, this is one of the teams, this is why I love doing these breakdowns, because as I'm researching and seeing what they did in the offseason, I'm like, holy crap, like they've brought in some dudes. So, I mean, first off, they added Tony Pollard, Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley, and Nick Bennett on the offensive side of the ball. So they have no shortage of weapons.
Right.
The Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley combination, I love. Nick Bennett is a very under the radar pass catching tight end. And then obviously Tony Pollard is kind of like that speed demon who they're obviously is going to be a complete shift and the style of running coming off of Derrick Henry.
Right.
You know, obviously he's a Thunder and he's Tony Pollard's more of a Lightning type back.
Right.
But they think that he can be the dude. They're making sure they put weapons around Will Levis. His second year, they loved what they saw in the first year. Obviously, they didn't get maybe the wins that they thought they were going to, but they definitely got the pieces around him. So that's one thing. Obviously, the big thing from the Titans, and this was probably the biggest surprise to me as far as head coaching changes, was them parting ways with Mike Vrabel, and they brought in Brian Callahan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they kind of reholstered that whole coaching staff. Nick Holtz is now the offense coordinator there. Denner Wilson is now the defensive coordinator there. So they're basically starting from scratch with Will Levis. They're in Tennessee. Obviously, they, like you said, they didn't really stand pat with their roster, and they're gonna make sure Will Levis is that guy.
Right.
Pollard. Then they're bringing back Tajay Spears to kind of lessen the load for Tony Pollard. Hopkins, Boyd, Ridley.
Hopkins is still there. Yeah,
Hopkins. That's a formidable trio. That's a good there.
Three. Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, like you said, their only real loss was Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, Derrick Henry at this point in his career, if you're Tennessee, you kind of feel like, all right, we've kind of ran the tires off that wheel right now. So ran him to the ground. Yeah. We got our money's worth off of Derrick Henry. So I guess that's a loss you can kind of take if you're Tennessee. The future is definitely with Will Levis and see where you got, what you got there. After that, it's just about seeing what your defense is going to do.
Yeah. Like I said, I was completely unaware that they signed that many guys that they did. They also brought over LeJarius Sneed. Pro Bowl, all pro tight end, or tight end, corner from Kansas City.
Yep.
So that's a huge improvement to their defense. I think the big thing with them is, and I feel like you could say this with a number of teams, is they have the weapons. Is Will Levis going to be the guy?
Right.
So we'll see there. Hey, I'll be able to tell you after week two.
Very quick, huh?
Yeah, we're going to the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm going. Jets at Titans. So I cannot wait. I'll take a bunch of photos and videos. And
a live scouting report.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I'll give you everything you need to know on Will Levis from section 5,000. Up in the upper deck. I'll be able to tell you. I'll bring my binoculars and give you the in-depth scouting report.
But, awesome.
All right, so lots going on with the Titans. Last but not least, everybody's darlings, I feel like, this year, everybody's favorite team, the Houston Texans, obviously came out of absolutely nowhere last year. 10-7, won the division, won a playoff game, won the wild card round, and then ended up losing to Baltimore in the divisional round, which, I mean, they outplayed them in the first half of that game, for what it's worth. Obviously, Baltimore ended up winning.
Right.
But the Texans didn't just lay down. They were competitive. From an acquisition standpoint, they had two really big ones on offense, bringing over Joe Mixon, the running back from Cincinnati, and obviously trading for Stephon Diggs from Baltimore, from Buffalo, excuse me. So those are two huge, huge pieces. Obviously, at wide receiver, they already had a dynamic duo with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. So, you know, they are going full force into taking advantage of CJ Stroud's rookie contract before they have to pay him $70 million a year at this point.
Shohei Ohtani type of money.
Exactly. Defer it all.
Defer it all. Yeah. And even with all those pass catchers, we didn't even mention Dalton Schultz.
Correct.
Tight end.
Yep.
So CJ Stroud has all the weapons any quarterback would ever want or need. Obviously, your offensive line is going to be the biggest question there, but they still got Laremy Tunsil there.
Yep.
That's the anchor of that offensive line. When you know your blind side is protected, that just ups the confidence level on all quarterback play. So CJ Stroud with Mixon there in the backfield, Diggs, Collins, and Dell on twos right and left. It's going to be a scary offense.
Yeah.
Regardless of I guess if he progresses or degresses, it's still going to be a scary offense, to be honest with you. It's defensively, though, it's definitely going to be a little bit of a different look. They definitely added and lost a lot of pieces, but the standstills are still there, like Will Anderson Jr.
Yep.
They brought in Danielle Hunter to
That's a big one.
Cover the other side of the defensive line. Derek Stingley Jr. is going to lead that backfield or secondary.
He's a stud.
Yep. So it's just going to be about whether they can live up to the expectations and not buy into themselves like Jacksonville. I feel like kind of did last year.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough, man. I feel like I could rue the day that I say this, but I just feel like they're bound to take a step back. I feel like there's just too much hype.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love CJ Stroud, good kid. He obviously played unbelievable. He kind of set the bar going forward for rookie quarterbacks on what you could potentially be. Everybody's going to be looking for the next CJ Stroud from here on in. Obviously they were the team to go from worst to first last year. There's always one every year and they were it.
Right.
I just hope that they're able to perform. They're able to live up because I feel like, you know, Tennessee just got better. We just talked about them. The Colts are supposed to be good. The Jags are still going to be good. So this division is not going to be easy. It's not going to just be there for the taking. They're going to have to go out and grab it.
Right.
And I'll be curious. I mean, again, part of me says that for Stroud to play as good as he did last year, he really didn't run into any issues. It's bound to happen. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's a stupid thing to say, but I just feel like he's bound to hit that wall or something at some point.
Right.
It's like when a guy comes up from the minors in baseball and he, you know, he tears it up.
Yeah.
And then you start to get film on him. You start to be able to scout him, figure out where his weaknesses are, yeah, where you can pitch the ball. And then all of a sudden he goes 0-30.
Right.
Like I'm saying that Stroud's going to fall off a cliff and go 0-30, but after a while, these defensive coordinators, these defenses, they get paid millions and millions of dollars for a reason.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they're like, eventually going to be able to find a way to at least temporarily slow him down. Yeah.
How good is he against the blitz? How good is he with pressure to his right side, to his blind side, to his front side? Do you need to stack the box for him? I mean, CJ Stroud is a dual threat. He can run past you. Obviously, he chooses his arm because he's got a cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're Houston, D'Amico Ryans, I feel like D'Amico Ryans would not allow this to happen, and that's to buy into your own hype. I mean, CJ Stroud is a young quarterback, and if anyone's going to fall into the trap of buying your own hype, it's going to be a young quarterback,
right?
But D'Amico Ryans, I feel, has the right temperament and the right attitude to kind of set CJ Stroud kind of straight,
yeah,
and kind of be like, no, don't do that. We just had an example of Jacksonville doing the same exact thing last year, and look what that got him out of the playoffs.
And I think for the most part, at least from what we've seen, Stroud is the same. Like, I think that's why him and D'Amico Ryans gel, because they're this, like, they're both grounded. They're very level headed. Like, I don't, you know, could be wrong with Stroud still, you know, early 20s, making millions and millions of dollars, had an unbelievable year.
Right.
But I don't feel like he's going to be the guy to do that. Again, I could be wrong.
Right.
My concern with them is what is Stephon Diggs going to do to that locker room? Obviously, we live in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. We saw all the drama, heard all the drama last year with him and Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He has proven, like, there's no disputing, this is what he does. He comes in, he's amazing, everything's hunky-dory for 2 or 3 years, and then he puffs up his chest and complains for an offseason, plays the next season, and then gets traded the following. It's exactly what has happened with Minnesota and with Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like he, as talented as he is he worth the headache for a young quarterback at this point?
Right.
Obviously, he was 4 or 5 years ago for Josh Allen's second or third year, but he's 4 or 5 years older now.
Right.
Is he, and you know, he kind of fell off a cliff last year.
Second half of the year,
his numbers. Yeah,
my fantasy team will attest to that.
So, you know, is he going to be able to produce? Is he going to be worth the headache? Obviously, everything you're hearing right now with training camp and preseason is that he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a vocal leader, blah, blah, blah. I just really wonder.
See, it's scary, though.
It is scary. It is scary, especially for a team that had such success last year. You know, one guy, especially a guy that's as volatile as that or as loud as that, can really mess up a locker room.
Yeah.
So I hope he doesn't do that for them.
Right. As soon as someone says they're a vocal leader and they have a kind of a history of kind of breaking down the locker room, honestly, I would not want him to be a vocal leader.
Right.
Shut your mouth.
Shut up and catch the ball.
Shut up. Lead by example.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you should be doing.
Derek Jeter.
13. There you go. Yep. But like Diggs has to, like when Diggs got traded to Buffalo, he was the number one right off the bat. Mm-hmm. There's no really competition there to take targets away from him. From a number one standpoint, here you got Nico Collins, Tank Dell,
right. And how are you going to do when you don't get the ball?
Yeah, exactly. That ball is going to get spread out,
right?
So if you're Stephon Diggs, I don't know, man. If you're Stephon Diggs, maybe it'll be a dose of reality. Maybe you have already accepted the dose of reality when you got traded here. But if you're D'Amico Ryans, I would have already had a conversation or two with Stephon Diggs, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. You're going to get the ball your fair share amount of time, so it's not going to be. It's number one by committee. You're not the declared number one. You got Nico Collins, who had a big year last year, Tank Dell, who showed flashes, and you got Dalton Schultz. There's no way you're going to be the number one at all times. So if you don't, calm down. Don't worry about it. We'll get to the ball next week or whatever, and we'll keep winning. But yeah, if you're a Houston fan, I do not want to be hearing Stephon Diggs is your vocal leader.
Right.
I do not want to hear that.
Yeah.
Tone it down, buddy.
Yep. Yep.
So no, that's where I'm at.
But, I agree 100%. Yeah. All right. So as we wrap up the AFC South, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a minute. Ooh. Because I didn't tell you we were going to do this.
Uh-oh.
So using the Texans as the example, right? They went last to first, right? They had their quarterback take off, zero expectations, came out of nowhere.
Okay.
So my question to you is, who is going to be this year's Texans? And it doesn't have to be rookie quarterback. It doesn't have, but like specifically, like who is the team that you think can go last to first?
Let me think about that.
I know I put you on the spot.
Yeah,
I have a couple ideas. So like the teams that you're hearing in the media, Washington,
I don't know
a lot.
I don't know.
And obviously, Atlanta wasn't last year, so right. I guess they technically have to be eliminated. But everybody's talking about them, and that's I think of more of an obvious choice.
Honestly, I'd be looking at Arizona. Did they finish last year? They finished last year.
They did finish last year.
We were very high during our NFC West preview, yep. and we were kind of tempering expectations for that for the 49ers.
Yep.
And I guess the Rams, but obviously the Rams will always be there. But Arizona, I feel like, has the highest, I guess, ceiling.
I agree.
For any of those teams over there.
So I think that's a great pick. I love that. I am so, so tempted. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, the Tennessee Titans.
I really think that if they could potentially go worst to first, that's not what I wrote down. I'm not putting my name to it. I'm just going to say that I could see it happening. It wouldn't totally blow me out of the water. Uh-huh. But I'm not going to bet money on it. I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, that's my pick. I'm just saying for the purposes of this experiment, I think that could be a good pick.
And then as we go through our prediction, like Tennessee's last place.
Right? Last. No. No.
Goodness.
But me. I think that's an interesting conversation because there's always one team. There's every year there's a team that goes worst to first.
Yeah.
I love the Arizona pick. I really do.
Thank you.
I love
right off the bat. Pick.
Yeah. Right off the bat. No warning.
That.
All right. So let's do our AFC South picks and then we'll do our our fantasy perspective.
I say it because I got Tennessee coming in last.
Go ahead.
So I got Houston winning the division. I think they have enough, I guess, attitude there to kind of temper buying into the hype. D'Amico Ryans, Daniel Hunter is a great signing, especially for leadership purposes there. Jacksonville. I think those two teams will actually win more than 10 games, both of them.
So you have both of them making the playoffs?
Probably. I haven't taken a look at the whole scope of it, but I wouldn't be surprised. Indy come in third, and then Tennessee. I mean, you can flip flop those two teams. It just really depends on Will Levis, his progression, and Anthony Richardson if he can stay healthy. Right now, I can't predict injury, so I'll put Anthony Richardson's ceiling a little bit higher than Levis's.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I had a really hard time with the AFC South. All kidding aside, with the with all four teams, one through four, and same thing, similar to what I said last week about the NFC or the AFC North.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up picking Jacksonville to win this division.
Okay.
Over Houston, very, very slightly. I just think that they're primed for a regression. Houston.
Right.
They had the same record last year, right? Didn't they? 9-8
Yeah.
Where's Houston on here? Oh no, 10-7
10-7
So Texans were 10-7 and then the Colts and the Jags were 9-8 But one game back, everything really went right for Houston, other than the last week of the season losing Tank Dell. They really didn't have any injuries. Typically, that doesn't happen 2 years in a row. So I expect something. I mean, you can never account for injuries, but at the same time, I feel like you have to.
Mm-hmm.
So I, at the end of all of that, I have Jacksonville winning the division, Texans coming in second. I actually have the Titans over the Colts.
Okay.
I have the Colts finishing last. Again, this is a prove it year to me for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
It's proved that last year wasn't a complete fluke,
right,
with Gardner Minshew and a first year head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Prove that your quarterback is who everybody expects him to be.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll see. But for me, I'm not buying it with the Colts. I'm just not.
Fair enough.
Nope. So Jags, Texans, Titans, Colts.
Okay.
All right. So we will jump over to our fantasy football perspective of this. So again, each division we do a must have, somebody who you got to make sure that you draft. Stay away, somebody you think that is just not going to perform, and then a sleeper pick, someone mm-hmm. under the radar.
Yep.
So go ahead.
So we'll start with the NFC. Yep. Must have. I got Drake London on here. I think Kirk Cousins did wonders with Justin Jefferson, as we all saw. Drake London did wonders with whoever he had at quarterback last year, Taylor Heineke, and who else was there? I can't remember. Ritter.
Yeah.
Desmond Ritter.
Yeah.
So Drake London had a solid year last year, even with mediocre quarterback play last year. So with Kirk Cousins there, who really likes to give the ball to a number one receiver,
yeah,
I think Drake London is going to reap the rewards there.
Okay.
Stay away. I got Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
I kind of had a difficult time with this, trying to find who to stay away from, because I feel like all these offenses are, obviously, like I said, they all have new offensive coordinators, so it's kind of hard to predict where the focal point of your offense is going to be.
Yeah.
But Chuba Hubbard right now is the number one running back option there in Carolina. But with that offensive line playing the way it does, and Chuba Hubbard never really taking off and kind of being subpar in the running back department anyway, even though he's the number one option, I kind of just steer clear of him right now.
Okay.
And sleeper, I actually got Datavion Sanders, who is a tight end for Carolina.
I've never heard of that person in my life.
This is a super sleeper.
Yeah.
Super sleeper. So my I guess, thought process on this is, we talked about it all last year. Young quarterback, your best friend is your tight end. Right now, this guy, he got drafted this past year for Carolina. So he's definitely going to be more of a pass catcher than what they got now in Tommy Tremble. They're in Carolina, so if he has any sorts of hands whatsoever, he's going to play a proficient role there in Carolina. So Bryce Young, quick outs, quick little hot routes straight to the tight end. I think Jatavion Sanders is going to be the number one guy there in tight end by the end of the year. This is going to definitely be a stash type of pick, but like probably week eight, halfway through the year, this is someone to keep an eye out for.
Okay, I like it. My must-have is still Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
He was my sleeper last year, but he's not even he shouldn't even be a sleeper anymore. Like, he's clearly the number one receiver in that offense, number one target for Baker Mayfield.
Hmm.
And, you know, he's older, but he's still young enough to, he's going to put up numbers.
Hmm.
So as long as he's healthy, I feel like he's good for a touchdown a game and at least 75 to 100 yards. Which in fantasy football, if you can get that consistently, you're great.
Right.
So Mike Evans is still my must have. Stay away. I went Deontay Johnson, the new acquisition in Carolina. Holy smokes.
What a catch.
What a catch. We're watching Sunday Night Baseball right now, and this dude for Houston literally just ran like 100 feet full force into the wall in left field and caught it.
Yep. He's down.
Yeah, he's hurting. But that was a phenomenal catch.
Yep.
So Deontay Johnson, I'm staying away from him. He was already inconsistent in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect that to continue. And I, quite frankly, don't know. I don't trust Bryce Young. And I don't right. trust the offensive line, as right. we already talked about.
Right.
So my sleeper here, I'll be curious to get your thought. I think that he is now officially a sleeper based on where he's getting drafted. And that's Alvin Kamara. I feel like obviously last year it's kind of hard because he was suspended, so he was going later.
Right.
I took him in the fifth round, I think it was last year, and stashed him obviously for those 3 or 4 weeks. He got 20 points a game almost every week. Part of that was because of the checkdowns like we talked about. But he is an easy 10 to 20 points every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So from a maybe not an overall like actual NFL production perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, the dude is still money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's definitely the focal point there, even with Olave there. Derek Carr is kind of like the checkdown king. He's not looking really to throw the deep ball too often. So who's going to reap the rewards of that? It's either going to be the tight end or the running back. Juwan Johnson's all right, but he's had his own drop issues there in New Orleans. But yeah, Alvin Kamara, he doesn't get, I guess, now that he's up there, I guess, in age, even though he's younger than us.
Right.
But in NFL terms, he's getting up there in age, especially for the running back position. He's not talked about enough, even though he had a monster year last year just via catching footballs.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that's a sneaky good sleeper pick there.
Yeah, he's always on my radar as long as he's healthy. So all right, AFC South, who you got? Who you looking for? Who you staying away from?
So must have. I got CJ Stroud. I feel like that's your number one quarterback, to be honest with you. Over Patrick Mahomes, over anyone else you got on the big board. Yep.
Look at you.
Yep. CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Number one quarterback. He's got too many weapons, too much going for him to not produce at a number one quarterback level. CJ Stroud, I feel like should be the number one quarterback that you target. Stay away. I got Christian Kirk. I'm just
really.
Yeah. So I'm not really, I guess, sold on him being the number one there right now. In Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence is, obviously, you still got Ingram, you got ATN, and Gabe Davis now is there.
Yeah.
Last year he had an okay year with Calvin Ridley being his other side, his teammate. But to me, Kirk's just not efficient enough and, I guess, trustworthy enough. It's going to be one of those things where should I play him? Should I sit him?
Right.
And at that point, you're just chasing your own tail.
Right.
And then sleeper, I got DeAndre Hopkins. I feel like this is kind of like Alvin Kamara. Been productive for a very long time.
Everywhere, yeah.
Everywhere he goes, quarterback play doesn't matter. He's always there, but no one's talking about DeAndre Hopkins because it's Tennessee, and I feel like Tennessee has been...
Worst to first, baby!
Worst to first. I feel like Tennessee has been like a dark hole, a pit hole for wide receivers' careers to just kind of like flame out. But Hopkins had a decent year last year, even with Will Levis. So I feel like he might go in the later rounds, but I feel like he'll definitely produce at a wide receiver two level at the least.
Okay. I like it. Yep. So my must have is Joe Mixon. Ooh. I'm super high on Joe Mixon. I think that, like we talked about it with both the Bengals losing him and the Texans picking him up, I think that's a huge, huge play for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's a three down back. He's a goal line target. I mean, you think about the numbers that Devin Singletary put up in Houston last year, and no knock on Devin Singletary, but Joe Mixon is way better than him. I think that he's going to be a kind of similar to Kamara. He's going to be a check down machine.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to be a goal line touchdown machine too, which he is every single year.
He's going to have plenty of opportunities.
So, exactly. Yeah. It's going to be a pass heavy option. Pass heavy offense with a guy who can clearly catch the ball out of the backfield and go get you 5 or 6 yards every single time.
Yep.
So I'm super high on Joe Mixon. My stay away is Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
I'm staying away from him until, again, I called it a prove it year. Not because I don't have anything against him. Prove to me you can stay healthy.
Right.
And then if that comes with great numbers, then cool, I'll draft you next year.
Right.
But this year, me personally, I'm staying away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then my sleeper is Gabe Davis. I just think that he kind of like how you talked about him taking touches away from Christian Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I love the idea of him and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I think that they're just going to be I almost wrote Gabe Davis / Evan Ingram because I'm high on both of them this year.
Uh-huh.
But I just went with Davis, and I think that I'm really, really excited for what he can do in Jacksonville.
Yeah. As I was researching the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence per PFF, Pro Football Focus, had like Trevor Lawrence ranked only top five in deep ball passes, like a 96.3 grade out of 100. And Gabe Davis was like top five in wide receiver deep ball catches, like 98 point something. So it's a connection made in heaven almost.
Yeah.
So like I definitely see that.
Yep. Awesome. All right. That wraps up our episode. We went a little long this week, but hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
Come on. Let me have this one.
I know. So next week is our last preseason episode. So it's going to be a long one actually, because we have obviously the NFC and the AFC East. And then we're going to do our rankings for our playoff seeds the same way we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do our Super Bowl prediction.
Woo.
And then we will do our first week of picks.
Woo.
Our what did we call them last year? Our lock and our upset.
Lock and upset,
so we'll do that, getting ready for week one. So we have a full show next week, so make sure you don't miss it. As always, if you have anything that you want to talk about, any top stories, feel free to send them in. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.